Today in our gospel, we hear that very familiar story that's titled, The Woman at the Well. And we hear of the differences between the Samaritans and the Jews. The Samaritans were from the northern part of Israel. They were from the original northern tribes of Israel, which had been taken away a couple hundred years before the southern tribes in Judah from there. And what happened is those Jews that got taken away ended up intermixing with the other people, marrying them and having kids, and they mixed their religion with the culture that they had. And so when they returned or they lived in that upper part, the Jewish people did not consider them culturally clean. Likewise, what happened is that their faith diverted a little bit, as you can hear in the story, from the Jews. Although they both claimed that Abraham was their father and that Jesus was at Jacob's well, which is Joseph and Jacob, part of the Jewish tradition, what evolved from the Samaritans is they worshiped up on the mountain, as they said, whereas the Jewish people thought that their pure religion was in Jerusalem, is the right place to worship. So there was both differences and hostilities around culture and religion for Jesus. So in our story, the woman comes to the well at noon, a time that nobody else is supposed to be there. Again, who knows, but probably because of either her lifestyle or what, as you learn later on. And she suddenly meets Jesus there. And Jews and Samaritans are not only supposed to not talk to each other, they're not supposed to share utensils. And so Jesus obviously didn't have anything to get into the well to get a drink, otherwise he would have just done it himself. So he asked the Samaritan woman, can you give me a drink, which is, give me your jug, give me your cup. And so she's startled at that because you shouldn't be talking to me. Not only should a man not be talking to a woman by herself at that age, you, a Jew, should not be talking to me as a Samaritan. And so it sort of sets the stage for this encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And biblical scholars have put a lot of interpretations around this story. It's just rich with things. Some of the interpretations go from Jesus, for the first time, is acknowledging that he's the Messiah. He says, you have met the person that you're looking for. Gone from that all the way to how God thirsts for all peoples, not just the Jews. And Jesus said, there will come a time where you don't have to worship in the temple or the mountain to see. But as I reread the story, in light of a conversation I had with somebody a couple of days ago, I got a different feel or interpretation of what this story means. A few days ago, I met with a man. We talked about his life, and he said to me something that stuck with me. He said that if during the course of the major decisions and challenges in my life, if somebody had just flashed a sign that said, pay attention now, he wouldn't have made a lot of mistakes that he made throughout his life. And he said, I just wish that as I've gone through my life, there would have been a flashing sign at significant parts that said, pay attention now. And I knew exactly what he was saying. I knew exactly what he felt. Many of you probably know that my first marriage ended in divorce. Well, now you all know. And when I got married, it was because I was, as I look back, it was something that was just self-centered. It was about what I wanted. And it didn't work out. And I think, you know what? I just wish when I was thinking of getting married, God would have put a sign that said, pay attention now to what you're doing. So I understood what this man was saying. And I bet if we all look back on our lives at the mistakes that we have made, we just wish God would have said, pay attention now to what you're doing because it'll matter later. The woman at the well comes at noontime, the heat of day, because she obviously wants to avoid all the other people around. And she encounters Jesus. She's startled because there's a man staring at the well. There shouldn't be anybody at the well. And she's startled there. And she had a moment where God was saying, pay attention now. Because this encounter could have ended a dozen different ways. She could have not talked to him. She could have just ignored him. She could have left the well. She could have, all kinds of things could have happened. Jesus could have just sat there and said nothing to her. He didn't have to stop at the well. All these things could have happened, but that's not what happened. Instead, she runs into Jesus, who without judgment talks to her and invites her into his relationship, into his life. And what's the result of that encounter? What happens? She opens her heart up to him, and she'll talk to him. And Jesus reveals to her her life. And she accepts her failing life. You've had five husbands, yes. But that acceptance was given to her without judgment. And so it turned her burden into a joy. And she said, and Jesus said, you're talking to the Messiah, someone who both the Jews and the Samaritans were waiting for. They're both waiting for the Messiah. And so she, for some reason at that moment, God was saying, pay attention now, because look what's going to happen in your life. Now, it doesn't tell us why this particular time she paid attention. Was she just startled? Was she taken off, uncomfortable? She didn't know what to say or what to do? In our lives, sometimes that's how Jesus gets us. We get off base. Something happens. We're startled by what's going on. Something happens unexpectedly, and God enters, and he sees. Maybe she's just tired. She's lived a life of five husbands, and the one she's living with now is not her husband. She's tired. What am I going to do now? Doesn't God come to us sometimes when we're really tired and we're done? But maybe the reason that she paid attention now was as the first time she encountered love that was unconditional. And it touched something still in her beaten up heart. And isn't that what God sometimes does to us as well? Now, why doesn't God just interrupt us at the major decisions of our life? When something's going to happen in our lives, why isn't it that God just says, wait, don't do that. Stop. Why doesn't he do that? It certainly would be easier for all of us if God just, nope, that's not the right way, go this way. So why doesn't God do that? The main reason is we don't ask him. We depend on our own cleverness. We depend on our own knowledge. We don't bother to ask him. And I dare say that if we did, he would answer. If we did an approach that every major decision in our lives we did with prayer and discernment, and then we said, okay, God, what's your will in this matter? He will answer us. He will tell us what his will is. And I'm ashamed to tell you that most of my life I did not do that. Whether it's because I thought I knew the answer, or I wanted this to be the answer, whether I thought, okay, I could figure this out. And honestly, much of my relationship with God was, okay, you're not supposed to bother God until you just mess it up so bad that you can't figure it out anymore, and then he'll help you. I did not ask him about things. I just did it. Pay attention now. Why doesn't God just do it to us? The reason is love never forces itself on us. Love doesn't force itself on you. God's love is not forced upon you, because then it's not love. If you have kids and you've raised kids, think about that relationship with your kids, that you really love them. Now, you can give them advice. You can even say, this would be a really good idea, and here's why. But when you really love them, you can't force them to do something. And if you don't have kids, think of yourself as you were growing up. And if you had loving parents, when you wanted to do something, they might say, well, you know, that's not a good idea, or that is a good idea, or they might say nothing at all. But they didn't force you. You can't force love. And that's why God doesn't just interrupt us in the middle of our lives that we're making a major mistake and say, pay attention now to see. But there's one more thing. Love does not abandon either. Jesus said to her, yes, I know. We had five husbands, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. God was with her throughout that whole time. That's how God knows. It wasn't a judgment like, you're really screwed up here. But I know. I was with you. I cried with you. God weeps when we make a bad decision, but he doesn't leave us. He doesn't say, I don't like you anymore because of what you did. Love does not abandon. Now, I know if we stop and think about our lives in the past and we think, oh man, I wish somebody would just have said, pay attention now to this. I want us to think about that, but I don't want you to dwell on it, because God was there and God has a way of making things work out. But I do want you to look forward about that, because hearing pay attention now as you move forward could save us each a lot of heartache and pain by prayer and discernment and asking God, what is it, God, that you want me to do now? Not when you've messed it all up, but when you're right at that crossroads to see. And I guarantee you that if you pray and you discern, God will tell you when it's time to pay attention now. And it's as simple as just asking him.